to make it to church at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So we wanted to do something a little special and give you first shot at the ministering of the gifts of the Spirit and God moving and touching. We had an incredible time last night in a multi-purpose room. Brother Winslow did a special session for ministers, pastors. There were six churches represented, and we just had a fantastic time, learned great things. Power of God fell towards the end of that. It was so thick in that place, and I know the Lord's going to do the same thing here. So I want you to lift your hands and just ask God to open your mind and your spirit for Brother Winslow to minister to you. He's coming now.
Praise the Lord, everybody. You may be seated. What I really love about God is that, you know, every miracle or all of His promises or salvation always begins with a word from the Lord. I mean, that's how it starts. If you want to have faith working in your life, then the basic of that is the Word of God. I don't know if we're going to get into everything that I want to talk about. I don't think any preacher ever preaches and finishes every message he starts. And so probably I will not either today. But if I don't mention it in our preaching, I mention this every place I go, that if you want the God kind of faith, if you want great faith, if you want healing miracle faith, then that starts with five components. There's five components of the God-like faith. And there's your faith and there's God's faith. And your faith is not the same as God's faith. God's faith is unlimited. And thank God that the Word of God teaches us and tells us that God allows us to use His faith in moments when we need it. When our faith is not enough, then we can always look to God's faith and receive the miracle, receive what we need from God when we're having a hard time believing. And let's just be honest this afternoon, that there's a lot of things that we come to God with that are very difficult to believe God for. And we're just human beings, and we're not deity walking around in flesh. And there's a lot of things we hear. We feel the pain of our body. We hear the testimonies of the doctors. We bump into people who have the same illness and sickness that we have, and they always know 10 people that died of it. And so we have all this information, all this knowledge, all these feelings, and all these experiences. And then all we have to heal us and to direct us is the most intricate part of man. And that is His Spirit. Paul taught us, along with all the other preachers and teachers of the Bible, but Paul really demonstrated that man was soul, spirit, and body. Just like our God is Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Our God is Father in creation, He's Son in redemption, and He's the Holy Ghost in salvation and regeneration. And there's one God. And we are soul, spirit, and body. And the very inner part of your life, the very center part of your life is your spirit. Your soul is not the most center part of your life. It is your spirit. And someone said, well, is the soul and the spirit different from each other? It is. Because Paul said it was. Paul taught that we're soul, spirit, and body. The soulish part of man is that thinking part of man. And we know the physical part of man. We look at that every day. We look in the mirror and we see the physical part. But the spirit of man, or the spirit man, the Bible says, the Lord said, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. The part that God touches us, the part that God illuminates, the fire of God that touches man, is not physically. It's not even soul in his soul. It's in his spirit that God touches him. And faith begins and ends in a man's spirit. In Romans chapter 10, verses 8, 9, and 10 tells us that the heart is the believing part of man. The heart is the spirit of man. If you talk about the heart of a tree, you talk about the center of the tree. And you talk about the heart of anything, it's the center part of that person. And when the Bible talks about believing God with your heart, it's not talking about believing with your physical heart. It's talking about believing with your spirit man. And we know that the spirit man, the spirit world, the spirit man has a body. There's a spirit body. When you're separated from your body, you're not just going to be a wisp of smoke somewhere, but the spirit man is a real, genuine, embodied person that you are. I know some of this sounds weird to some of you, but it's all in the Bible. It's there. And the God kind of faith doesn't begin with feelings. A lot of people can look around when the power of God begins to move and say, well, the Lord is moving here tonight. But a spirit-led, spirit-filled person is someone who hears by the Spirit of God, walks by the Spirit of God. That's why the Bible says we walk not by sight, but by faith. And the more you develop your senses in the spirit man, the easier it is to believe God, the easier it is to turn off doubt and unbelief and things that you hear around you. And just remember this, we live every day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in a physical world. When God begins to move, I don't know how he did it. I don't know where it came from. I can't figure it out. I look at our church and the growth of our church, and I just look back and I wonder how that happened. 2005, God told me, he said, you're going to get out of debt, and this is what I'm going to do for you. And he said, by Christmas 2005, you're going to be completely out of debt. And when October came around, I was completely out of debt. There were five things God told me he was going to do for me that I needed financially, and he did it. And I look back, and it just seemed like, where did it come from? Because when you get your eyes off the physical, you get your eyes on the spiritual. Have you ever noticed when the Lord begins to really touch you, you have a tendency to close your eyes and worship God? Because you're really, the spirit man knows you've got to turn things off to turn the things of God on. That's what a fast is. You're turning some things off. You're walking away from some things. I was in a service many years ago, and 1989, and we were in church, and a woman fainted in the building and fell and hit an object and had a huge gash on the side of her head. And they had a cloth on it, and they ran her into the front of the building in there where we were having church. And they said, come on up here, and Brother Winslow, quick and pray for this woman. And I mean, that cloth was just full of blood, and they pulled it off to show me the wound. And just without even thinking, I said, don't anybody look at it. I wasn't even thinking that. I just said, don't look at it. And I said, cover it back up again. And I said, everybody get your mind on God. And just, and you know, we prayed, and this really happened. We pulled that off of there. It wasn't even a wound there. It was completely healed. But that was because we got our eyes off of the wound. If we was just staring at it, it would be hard to believe God. That's why God gives us an inner eye, inner vision. And you have to develop that person. You have to develop that spiritual person. That spiritual nature in you. You don't just get up in a natural world and you're just going to be spiritual. But it's amazing to me what little it takes to awaken the supernatural spiritual man or woman inside you. I mean, I still to this day, when I start applying myself to the Word of God and I start applying myself to the spirit world and I start denying things and just start believing God, it's amazing how quick my spirit man can get strong. Even in a service, sitting in a church, a person can walk in the building, and if they start focusing on things above and they start focusing on the Lord Jesus Christ, it's amazing how quick their low faith can go to great faith in just a few moments of time. Some people see things in the natural realm, and so they believe. Some of you have seen thousands baptized, so you believe. You've seen thousands receive miracles, so you believe. But you're not believing with the right part of your being. You're believing with what you see physically and not what you see spiritually. And the Word of God is spirit, and it is life. The Bible tells us that. Last night we studied and we read where the Bible says that the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. But there's a, believe me when I tell you this, there's a God faith, and then there's a human man faith. Romans 12:3 says, unto every man is given the measure of faith. And the measure of faith is not the God faith. It just is not. The measure of faith is what everybody operates in the world in. It's amazing that even people in the world are operating on faith. If you don't believe that, there'll be some get up today and it'll take 20 minutes to get to church. Guess what? They're not going to leave at 22 before to get here because it takes, 20 minutes. I'll be there in 20 minutes. They're not planning for car accidents or anything. They're just going to get up and go, and they get in that car and they don't think anything of it. It's going to start up. And when the car doesn't start, you're amazed. It's like, what? And you get upset because you do operate in a faith. Most of you work, and guess what? You work, then you get paid. And that's faith. Think about it. You wouldn't do that in any other part of your life. I remember, it's kind of a funny story, but I remember this man came up to me in Mountain View, California, preaching a revival over there. He came up to me and he said, Brother Winslow, said, I've got a, I can't remember how much money it was, but it was a lot of money. He said, I've got this $1 million property. And if it sells, I'm going to tithe to the church here naturally, but I'm going to give you, and he told me the amount of money he was going to give me. It was a lot of money. And, I've always tried my very best to, everybody here could use a miracle money miracle, couldn't you? I could. Everybody can. I don't know. I don't see anybody here I don't see any Donald Trumps here. Everybody could use a miracle, financial miracle in your life. I could use them daily and weekly, monthly. Just send them, God. And so he told me how much money if I would just pray and this building would sell. So for 2 or 3 days while I was there, every day I was trying to be really wise and spiritual. So I wouldn't start my day off asking God to sell that land or that building. But I would move it in there somewhere in there a couple of times. And throw in a few promises what I'm going to do if I get that money that would not be selfish. Right? But trying not to just overwhelm my prayer life with money. And that's hard to do, folks, when you know God can do anything. So I got this revelation, hoping that God couldn't see it working in my mind. I got this revelation, so I started praying. I said, God, we give by faith. If you was to speak to this man, not me, but you, and tell this man that if he was to give me that money up front, that you'd help him. Sounded pretty good before I got in the prayer meeting with God. And God's reply, I'm not trying to be comical. God does have a sense of humor. But his reply to me was, what is 10% of that? And I come up with a figure. He said, since you're asking me to tell him to give it first, why don't you give the tithe off of that first? I mean, that's what the Lord told me. And I know you think I have a lot of faith, but I use a lot of God faith around in my ministry. I said, but Lord, what if I tithe and he doesn't obey you? He said, somebody's going to benefit from your money. So I said, Lord, I'm just going to leave that all up to you. Whatever you want to do, you're in charge. See how the Lord is? And I was working that in my soulish physical body, but I wasn't doing that in the spirit. I was doing that out in the outer part of my life. So there's a spirit, a man is a spirit, and that is the God part of, that's what God touches. When God touches you, he touches your spirit. When God gave you the Holy Ghost, he didn't give your body the Holy Ghost. I don't want to hurt your feelings, but the body, the physical body hasn't even been changed yet. Excuse me. Your spirit man was changed by God. The Holy Ghost came in. Your spirit man was given control. It was illuminated. It was enlightened. It started taking control of your life. And when the spirit man is leading your life, everything works good. When it doesn't, things get out of control, and that's when you start getting into temptation and stumbling and trouble and making bad decisions. But God speaks to us in our spirit man, and that's how he talks to us. The spirit of man is the candlestick of the Lord. And when God touches you, he touches your spirit man. That's why you're bewildered. That's why you don't understand. You're trying to understand God. You're trying to understand the scripture. That's why people take the Bible and they study it to try to prove it or disprove it. And they can't understand it because they're trying to look at it in a natural way. God did not write the word of God by natural intellect or by natural understanding. He wrote it by the supernatural and by the Spirit of God. And that's how God did it. And it's just amazing to me in a service. I always try to carry a piece of paper, an ink pen or something to write if I get somewhere where I don't have it. I'm always, no matter where I go, asking somebody, because somewhere in that service, God's going to speak in His Spirit to me something that's going to unravel something physically in my body that I'm wrestling with. But the answer is going to come when the supernatural is moving, when the anointing is happening. You ask preachers, more preachers get more messages when they're in church in the presence of God. I mean, sometimes they'll get 15 or 20 messages because supernaturally you're in that environment where God is speaking and it's answering all the physical needs that's going on. God's not going to come in here and operate with a scalpel. God's not going to come in here and operate with a man that's got a mask on and a hat on and a white clean suit. He's going to operate in the spirit, in the supernatural, and everything in the physical realm is going to be commanded and overcome by the supernatural. Your miracles are birthed not in physical realm or in ideology of the mind. Your miracle is birthed somewhere in a supernatural place, in a spiritual place. And if you can get past your pain and past your doubt and past what you've heard from everybody else and get in the realm of the supernatural, that's why prayer and worship and praise in church is so important to all the phases of your life. Hey, let's give our God a hand clap of praise right now. Isn't He awesome? Supernaturally, spiritually. Hallelujah. And the spirit of man is called the heart of man. Once again, let me go. I'm not going to read from Romans, but Romans chapter 10. For years and years, I had people come to me, well, here's the plan of salvation, Romans 10. Romans 10, verses 8, 9, 10 is not the plan of salvation. Has nothing to do with the anything that has to do with salvation is similar to that of healing. The same blood that saves us is the same blood that purchased our healing. Now that's true. But when people go to Romans 10, verses 8, 9, and 10 and say, this is how you're saved. You confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead and you're saved. But that's not what that's telling us. That's telling us how we walk in the Spirit. You walk in the Spirit by believing in your heart, and your heart is your spirit man. You can actually receive a miracle. People get hoodwinked by their flesh. They think because their flesh is lying to them that there's no use in them praying because they're not. No, there's always noise around the sound you're trying to hear. Even right now, there's going to be noise. It's funny, you know, even as loud as I am and as in front as I am, I can hear people unwrapping peppermints and everything else in this church. But I'm focused on something. There's always sound around you. Quit letting what your flesh feels and thinks dictate to you whether you have faith or not or walking in faith. If you're in this building and the baptism of the Holy Ghost is in you, you have all the access to all the possibilities of everything you have need of. You've just got to develop that spirit, man. Whether you feel anything or you don't feel anything, you ought to be praising and worshiping and magnifying God because you're exercising your spirit, man. With the heart, man believeth. Verse 8, 9, and 10 of Romans 10 says. And it says that we're to open our mouth and we're to confess the Lord Jesus Christ. And we believe what some denominational people tell us. Oh, that's their plan of salvation. No, it's not. It's the plan of healing. It's the plan of the miraculous. It's the plan of God working in your life that when you start believing with your spirit man and you get your mouth open and you start confessing the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what does that mean, Brother Winslow? That means that in your spirit you say that's the word of God and that's real and God does those things, and then you open your mouth and you start saying there's nobody like Jesus. There's nobody awesome as He is. He has more power than anybody else. else. My God is able. My God is awesome. That's what it means to confess Jesus Christ. That means you literally open your mouth and you speak the name of Jesus Christ. And you don't just speak that name when you're saved, but yes, you do when you're saved. And as I tell all of my friends that are in denominational land, I tell them, I say, I believe Romans 10, 8, 9, and 10 completely. And I tell them this, and I'm not trying to be a smart aleck, but I tell them, I believe it more than you do. And then I really make them mad by saying, you're not even obeying it anyway. Because it means that that one number one source of your life is Jesus. And that you are open about it. And you are prejudiced about it. And your mind is made up. Because you know, where you, if your treasure is Jesus, it talks about the heart, and that's the spirit. Where your heart is, you know, your mouth is going to speak. On the airplane, I can hear people talking, and you can just know something about people by what they talk about. What they speak about, the same thing in the supernatural. That when you start believing God with your heart, what are you believing? You're believing what the Word of God says. And then your mouth begins to confess Jesus Christ. And I know that people get used to just, here is what's robbing us of our needs being met by the loving, kind, and supernatural God that we serve. Because we come to church and think that if we come in there and we sit there, that someone's going to come to us, and this is the negative side of having a signed gift preacher come, is that people sit around in a service waiting for him to call them out and pray for them, not realizing the environment of the supernatural is all over the whole building, and what God does over here, he can be doing over here. And if you're praying for somebody with a heart disease right up here, that could be somebody way over there that's got a heart disease that should be and could be saying, Lord, here I am. I confess you. You're the Lord of my life. When I was dating my wife in high school, I loved it when she'd say, oh, I can't go to the football game with you because I'm Gordon's girlfriend. And we should do the same thing. When the enemy comes around us, we should tell the enemy, I'm a child of God. I'm sold out to Jesus. That's confessing him. I'm not saying that you should just go around and 10,000 times a day say Jesus to everybody, but I'm telling you, when you're confronted by anything, you're to speak the name of Jesus and to announce to the enemy that you belong to God. If people would do that, they would have less temptation. They'd have less stumbling. We would have to waste so much time trying to pick the church up in church because the church would walk in the authority and the power of Romans 10, 8, 9, and 10, and we could walk in here and get some things done. Everybody in this building that loves God and serving God has the ability to get a prayer answered. And the one thing that, I know I'm being very negative this morning, but the one thing that our fellowship really doesn't have the vision about, and maybe it's somewhere in the makeup of how we got to where we are today, but we're not a ministering body to each other. We just don't do that. We preach good, and we're right doctrinally, and we have good worship, but we're just not wired up like the early church was to be ministering to each other, to minister to the world. If we could ever get the ministry of the Spirit of God into our lives and the Lordship of Jesus into our lives and walk out of this building, here's the way it's supposed to work. I'm just going to simplify it. The bishop gets up and he preaches and he teaches the Word of God and you receive it. And you call it done, and you make it personal, and you take it out, and you duplicate everything that goes on in this church. Do you know the mark of a real good message is when people live the message? I preach very few very good messages because very few of them get duplicated. I don't mean duplicated on a CD-ROM or somewhere, but I'm talking about duplicated in the lives of the people. His disciples had to be with him for one purpose, and that was so they could know what they're supposed to do in their ministry, how they're supposed to obey God. They watched Jesus, and so they went out and they were to do what Jesus did. I can't minister to anybody, Brother Winslow. Yeah, and thus your spirit man is going to shrivel up and die. I can't do that. When the devil comes beating on my door, I run and go hide under the blankets. And that's why you cannot fulfill Romans 10, 8, 9, and 10. You have to start using authority and power that comes in the Holy Ghost. And you have to minister to it. And you'd be surprised. Do you really, I mean, seriously, I don't want to get the bishop thinking about getting a job somewhere. But do you really think men of God, that it's a power thing with them? Brother and sister, being a man of God is hard work. It's fighting things. It's carrying things home with you. I mean, think about this, and I don't know how many times you have church, but the man of God has got to preach to that church so many times a week. He's got to answer so many phone calls. He's got his own walk with God. I mean, why would he do it? It's not the money, believe me. It's not the money. It's because something happens in the part of your life, in the mind of your spirit, when you start doing what Jesus wants you to do, God has one great passion, and that is to be believed. And he doesn't care what color you are. He doesn't care how much money you have or don't have. He don't care how you got to church today. But if you're in this service and you begin to believe what the Word of God says, he has a great passion to be believed. And the day you stop believing God and start walking in the benefits that God's given you, and you cease to believe God, you cease to fight, you cease to reach, you cease to help people and minister to others, you're going to become stagnated, and your spirit man is going to shrivel up. Because if you understand the ministry of Jesus, he came to help, he came to touch, he came to deliver. And when you get that vision in your mind and your heart, and you start, you'll find out how joyous it is, how powerful it is, how satisfying it is. And you'll be like the man of God. It's not about the money. I cannot get it in my mind how people can say, I don't have time to go to church. I don't have this. I can't go to church. I can't do this because I don't have that. The reason we don't have it is because we don't do it. But if you do it, you'll have it. But I'm talking about the God kind of. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 13 and 13. And I believe the Lord put that verse there just to blow people who are superstitious their minds. 13:13, double 13s. 1 Corinthians 13 and 13. And now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three. But the greatest of these is charity. Now, I know what it says there. It says that love is the greatest thing, and it is. But it shows us that there are three great themes in the Bible. Three great things that the apostle announced in 1 Corinthians 13. And this is the spiritual gift period, or the spiritual gift volumes of the Word of God. And it tells us that faith, hope, and charity. And I believe it takes those three things in your life working for the supernatural to stay balanced, to work in a powerful way, and for us to benefit from them. When you don't have the hope and the charity, all the faith in the world will just lead you to a place where you don't even understand what you're doing. And there's even men that's been used of God greatly that have fallen because they don't have the balance of love. They don't have the balance of hope. But of these three, it's the faith part of that that I want to look at this morning. That one of the great three themes of the New Testament church is faith. Mark chapter 11 and verse number 12, and look, there's not, I don't care what churchology a man comes from, He is going to eventually read and preach from Mark chapter 11. And just because somebody has taken Mark 11 and done something with it doesn't mean we can't have it. And I don't want anybody, nobody here is going to do that, but I don't want anybody coming to me and telling me I'm not apostolic. Because I read from the Bible and I quote from the scripture, just because I believe more in Romans chapter 10 verses 8, 9, and 10 than denominations doesn't make me a denominational person. Mark chapter 11 verse number 12, this was a spiritual school of education that Jesus was giving his disciples. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came if haply he might find anything thereon. And don't you think for 1 minute Jesus wasn't talking about the fruit that a church bears. And seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves. Well, you could preach about that. We've got leaves, but we've got no fruit. For the time of the fig was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. Now, he didn't say there wasn't going to be fruit on that tree. He just said, when I came expecting fruit, there was none there. And the reason for that is because the time of the leaves was the time of the fruit. That when you've got leaves, you should have fruit. And I have lived in my life in times where I had the leaves, but I had no fruit. Today, we're not just going to have leaves. We're going to be an active part of the body of Christ, and we're going to minister to each other this afternoon, and we're going to see the Lord filled with the Holy Ghost and heal people and touch people and help people and deliver people. And we're going to walk out of this place and we're going to have fruit in our spirit. That's one thing God told me he's going to do in this service today is he's going to make the fruit appear on those who will let him. You're not going to walk out of here any longer waiting on somebody else to get your miracle in your life. The Bible said, what is it? It's nigh thee even in your own mouth. The word of faith that we preach. When we preach the word of faith, go out and speak that word of faith. Make it your own. Make it yours. Quit saying the preacher believes. The preacher said. The pastor said. Walk out of here and say, the word says it. I believe it. He's the Lord of my life, and I'm going to walk in it. So Jesus answered and said unto them, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. And they come to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple, and he began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and he overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying, I wish people really knew what that meant. Some people think it means selling things, but it's talking about your body. But anyway, we need to quit carrying our stinking bodies in the temple. Start walking in the Spirit of God. But anyway, that's another revelation. And he taught, saying unto them, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and the chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him because of all the people and were astonished at his doctrine. And when eve was come, he went out of the city. And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold the fig tree, which thou cursest, is withered away already. And in verse 22, he is not even talking about that fig tree. Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. And maybe some of you in the footnotes of your Bible or in the side of your Bible, you'll see where it gives you a more exact interpretation of that scripture. Two places I found, I have 22 different Bibles, and in two of them, one of them says, have the faith of God. And the other one says, have the faith like God. He is saying to them that if you will develop the faith like God, the godlike faith, you can say to this tree, be cursed. Now, I could care less about cursing trees. How about y'all? I'm serious. I could care less about that. But there are some demons. There are some spiritual attacks. There are some situations you find yourself in that you need the power of God, the faith of God to speak, to bring it to pass. Quit. Listen. Don't clap right now. Listen. Quit condemning yourself because you don't have that great, big, gigantic faith that you need to get some things done, because it's going to take a God-like faith to get it done. And the last time I looked, there wasn't anybody in God's church that was God but God. He was the only one. But you know what the devil's tricked us into believing? That we'll never have the faith, we'll never see it, we'll never be a part of it. We'll come to church and watch everybody else have what God wants them to have, but not us. And that's what the enemy wants you to have, just your own faith. He can't rob from you what God's already given you, but God promises you that when you're in a bind, when you're in trouble, when the doctor says too late, when the doctor says it'll never happen, when you're up against hell and high water, that you can look to your God and He will send to you the God-like faith. And that's really, honestly, that's really where those great needs are met. I know we say all the time, here's a great man of faith. My faith is, it may be somewhat exercised because I'm always, you know, out there doing it, but if you were to take my faith and your faith and put it together, we wouldn't be able to tell much difference. You take a stack of dimes, put 20 and put it off away from you, and take a stack with 18, it'll be hard to tell which stack is 18, which one's 20. All of our faith was never meant to be enough. But God said, if you can learn how to allow my faith to visit you in the moments that you need the miraculous, you'll get more done with my faith than you will any other faith that there is. My faith was meant to get me to His faith. Your faith was meant to get you to God's faith. Do you think He's never given us anything that made us independent of each other. He never gave us anything to make us independent of Him. Matter of fact, if you're independent of everybody in this building and you're independent of God, you're probably already in spiritual trouble right now. Because it takes dependency on God. You've got to be dependent on the Lord. When people make fun of us and say that we're too dependent on God, they're praising you. You ought to say, thank God, I'm glad that I'm dependent on God. I had a man tell me, he said, we're not like you Christians. You're so dependent on the Lord. And instead of being offended, I said, oh, thank you. I said, what a great praise you just gave me. He said, stupid, I'm criticizing you. I said, no, you're not. I said, I'm dependent on Him. I'm leaning on Him. I can't live without Him. I've got to have Him. I admit it. I agree with you. But the difference in my life and your life cannot be compared between the two, because I've got a supply. I've got an avenue. I've got a way into the supernatural. I've got a God that can heal cancer. I've got a God that can heal tuberculosis. I've got a God that can heal diabetes. I've got a God that can heal heart disease. And I've got an avenue into that God. I'm not trying to bring you down. But the fact that you are, despite what the doctors have said about you, that you're still prospering, you're still doing great. I met a man, a preacher, that was declared 34 years ago that he wouldn't live 6 months because of his heart. And he told me, he said, no matter how many times the doctor checks me, Brother Winslow, I still have the same lack in my heart. He said, but I run, I bike, I hang out with the grandkids, I preach like a house on fire, I'm never short of breath. He says, the doctor tells me I still got a bad heart, but I don't have any symptoms. My God, some of us in the apostolic movement, I mean, we've got to, I mean, everything. We got to have 10 x-rays, an MRI, and everything else, and 15 doctors tell us we're okay, and then we still want to feel like we're, I still think I feel it. I think it's still there. If you could ever realize, no matter what the devil says or anybody says or what you're experiencing, nothing's going to happen to you if you're walking in the faith of God, but that God allows to happen. Go to the book of Job. Yes, Job went through hell, but God was with him, and that's a miracle. Yes, he lost his kids, but God was with him and gave him some more. Yes, he lost his wealth, but God gave him some more. If you've lost your wealth, shout about it, because God's going to restore it, and what a testimony that's going to be. The God faith. I just believe when it doesn't even make sense to believe. If a hand grenade blows off half my body, I just lift the other half up and say, praise God, I didn't need that today anyway. Huh? If God can resurrect bones out of a dry valley with the help of Ezekiel and make them stand up and live again, God can do the same thing for you. Have the God faith. I mean, just think about this. God believes in you. Well, that takes a lot of faith. God tells me, I believe in you. Go forward and pray. But God, I'm having some trouble. I'm going through some things. God said, I've got confidence in you. Get up and go out there and get it done. In the name of Jesus. Yeah, but God, one of my grandkids is not doing right. That's all right. I got a hold of them. I got you covered. Go on out there and do what I called you to do. Start walking in the God faith. So where do you get that at, Brother Winslow? In 1 Corinthians chapters 12, 13, and 14, it talks about the gifts of the Spirit. And one of the gifts of the Spirit is faith. There are three that help you think like God. There's three to help you talk like God. There's three to help you act like God. And they're called gifts of the Holy Ghost. And it doesn't belong. I've heard men say, I've got the gift of healing. Child, you ain't got the gift of nothing. God's got the gift. And he's letting you use that gift. Huh? I know people have been used to God so greatly that when they died, they just thought the whole thing was over. Are we going to mourn one day for you, but the next day we're talking in tongues? Huh? That's what I told my kids and my wife. I said, when my time comes to die, I hope I never die. I hope I see Jesus come in the clouds. Woo, I don't even like shots. I said, but I don't take me off some old cold dead place where everybody, blah, blah, blah. I said, I want y'all to cry about 20, 30 good minutes. I want to know somebody cried. But after that, come on, it's party time. I said, my God, sing some Holy Ghost powerful praise songs. Get somebody prophesying. Let somebody pray for somebody that's sick. I said, have some church over my tomb. Somebody celebrate a little bit, praise God. That's what I told my wife. She said, oh, you're crazy. I said, no, I'm not. I said, that's what the Bible tells me. Oh, grave, where is thy sting? Oh, death, where is thy victory? Grave, where's your victory? You don't have any sting on me. You have no... Listen, folks, we are walking in the most powerful dimension of life that we could ever live in. Quit letting the economy steal your victory. Quit letting friends that let you down steal your faith. You're locked into a God who's got all the faith you'll ever need, and when your faith is not enough, get the God-like faith. And it comes in the gifts of the Holy Ghost. That's how it comes. It's a gift. I can always tell when the gift of faith is operating. How you could pray any prayer and get an answer anytime. You have faith. Romans 12:3, unto every woman is given the measure of faith. And you have that measure. I prayed for a avowed atheist in Lake Charles, Louisiana. While I'm preaching, the Lord through the word of knowledge tells me, he says, this guy has come to church and he's got these things wrong with him physically, and I want you to pray for him. I went down there and I said, sir, I want to pray for you. I said, you've got this and this. And he said, nope. I said, well, Lord, I could be wrong. I said, I'm wrong about what I'm telling you that you're sick. He said, oh, no, I'm sick of those things. He looked at his daughter. He said, I've got those. He said, but no, you're not praying for me. I mean, right in front of everybody. He says, I'm an atheist. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, there are no atheists. Oh, hey, Dave, when did y'all get here? Oh, I've been here since 2 or come in? Oh, okay. Praise God. I looked over and said, whoo, somebody, that guy looks just like Dave. Oh, what was I saying? I forgot where I was. Atheist. I was praying for this guy, and he says, no. You know, he said, no, those things are right. He said, but no, I'm an atheist. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, there's no such thing as an atheist. Because Romans 12:3 says, unto every man is given the measure of faith. And I said, you're not an atheist. He said, oh, yes, I am. Who's getting mad? Oh, yes, I am an atheist. I said, well, what are you doing here? I said, I could be wrong, but if you are an atheist, you're probably the only one here that's an atheist. I said, what would you be doing here? If I was a dog, I wouldn't show up at a hot dog factory. Just got it. Praise God. Thank you. I'm spitting, sweating, and carrying on. Praise God. I'm getting excited about this. Anybody get excited about Jesus? Huh? So I'm arguing with him. I said, you're not an atheist. Oh, yes, I am. What are you doing here? Well, my daughter's birthday, and I told her I'd give her whatever she wanted for her birthday. She said, Daddy, I want you to come to church. I said, you're still not an atheist. I said, you believe. He said, oh, no, I don't. He was very calm-like and angry, but very calm. I said, oh, yes, you are. I said, watch this. First of all, I'll prove that you believe. And I said, can I pray for you? No. I said, there it is, folks. He believes. He looked at me like I lost my mind. What was going on? I was walking the word of wisdom. I'm not that sharp to talk like that. I'm walking in the word of faith, and I'm walking in the word of wisdom and the gift of faith. And I said, oh, see, there it is right there. Sure you believe. Because you're afraid that if I touch you and pray for you, you just might get a miracle. You're afraid to let me pray for you. I didn't tell him that there were 58 laws that God spoke to him about. In 3 years, he gave me 58 laws of the scripture to walk in, to believe with, and to experience God with. And one of the laws of God that if you get someone gives you permission to do anything, it breaks down everything that hinders God from moving in and touching them. Permission is powerful. And I said, yeah, you believe because you're afraid to let me pray for you, because if I pray for you, something's going to happen. He said, I'm not afraid to let you pray for me. I said, can I pray for you? No. I said, there you go. There it is. There it is, folks. Man, and all of a sudden, we started having an argument right there in front of everybody. I said, you're so afraid, you're so scared that God's going to heal you, and all of a sudden there's a real God, and you're scared to death. You're so scared of me to let me pray for you just to touch you with one little finger. No, I'm not scared. I said, then can I pray for you? No. I said, there he goes. I said, everybody look over here. Here's a scared man. He's afraid it's real. He jumped out there and said, pray for me and get it over with now. Listen, anytime anybody asks for prayer, what does that do? Give you 100% all the right in the world to believe God and pray. And when he said, go ahead and pray for me now, he opened the floodgate of the anointing of the Spirit of God. See what we don't get? is that you don't have to wait till they get to church. You should be demonstrating the Spirit of God out there. You should be carrying the anointing of this church and this service out into the streets and the highways. That when they come in, they already know what to do. One guy was witness to, and he walked in they told him everything, prayed for him. He walked in the building. He sat down 3 minutes and got up and walked past me and got up in the baptistry clothes and all. I wanted to tell him, we've got a door. I'm telling you, he climbed up over the chairs, right over the wall and into the baptistry and pointed at me and pointed at the water. I said, son, I tell you what, you want to get baptized, I'm going to hold you down till you really get a hold of God. I put him so far down, he was way under. We almost had to put him in a special device because of the bends. He was so far down. Filled with the Holy Ghost. He came expecting. He knew what was going to go on. Come on, ye children of God. Come on, ye Holy Ghost-filled people. You got the preacher on the inside of you. You got the miracle worker on the inside of you. You got to let it go. I touched that guy on the head. I said, lift both hands up. I said, that's antennas. Lightning's going to strike him. He started hesitating. I was fixing to open my mouth up and say, see? But he knew, so he put him up. I laid my hand on him in Jesus' name, and the power of the Lord was so, it was so strong in that place. And I mean, I'm not kidding you. He went like this a few times. I said, uh-oh. I didn't say it out loud. I was going to say,
timber.
Boom, he hit the floor. And it wasn't no time, he was talking in tongues. Well, how long does it take to repent? It took you 3 weeks because that was you. You was waiting on you. It didn't take God long to forgive you, fill you with the Holy Ghost. There's nothing like having this power of God living on the inside of you. Understand there's two kinds of faith. There's your faith and my faith, and there's another kind. It's God's faith. And it comes in the power of the gifts of the Spirit. And I've got to close. I could go on and on right now because I'm hooked up to this faith of God. And we're going to do a few things here in a minute. I think we're fixing to have church. This is just kind of warm up. We're just kind of, they're going to warm up before the Super Bowl. We're just throwing a few passes. And in a minute, the whistle's going to blow, and we're going to have the real thing going on here in just a minute. But teaching precedes every miracle. You can't have a miracle without teaching. That's what God told me. He taught, he preached, then he demonstrated. We're going to teach, we're going to preach, and then we're going to demonstrate. If you got your head in the book of God and would start reading the Word of God, then when you come to church, you'll get more out of church. God healed that guy. He filled him with the Holy Ghost, and a great revival broke out. But the God-like faith comes with the gifts of the Spirit. Now, let me close with this. This is Brother Winslow's vision of how the gifts work. And everybody can have their own ideal. I always can tell when the gift of faith is beginning to work. Now, can you get miracles with your faith? Yes. But don't you admit with Brother Winslow, there are some things that just mounts up and is so big that you just struggle to believe. Do you know there's people that's actually afraid to have the church pray for them for fear they're not going to get healed? Isn't that crazy? And I know preachers that are afraid to admit that sometimes nothing happens. As if we don't know that already. I can tell when the gifts of the Spirit are operating. I can tell when the gift of faith is coming. Because no matter what anybody has or what they're doing or what's going on or what illness or what problem, marital situation is going on, it gets smaller and smaller. It becomes less significant in my mind. When I walk up to somebody and they're in a wheelchair and the Lord tells me to pray for them, I too feel in my own faith an overwhelming sense. But I've learned that when I've gone as far as my faith will take me, I don't have to go home empty. I can just wait on God. He's going to be here. He's going to show up. And when he shows up, it's going to get easier to believe. It's going to get smaller. There's been times you've been in church, you've been praying, you had some kids that are in trouble. And oh, you come to church and you're just so heavy laden and you're so worried and you don't know what you're going to do. And all of a sudden the Spirit of the Lord begins to move in a service. And all of a sudden you just quit worrying about it. You're not even worrying about it no more. And you just feel different about it. And you just lift your hands and you cry and you pray and you worship. But you don't speak, Romans 10, 8, 9, and 10, from your heart at that moment of great faith about your situation. So as soon as it's over with, you get in your car and you go, oh, yeah, I remember my kids are in trouble. So you start worrying again, never realizing that God came right by your chair, your pew, your seat with a gift of faith so you could believe. It's the moments of faith that we're healed in. It's the moment. Why do you think the Lord allowed the troubling of water to be even put in the Bible? I had a brother tell me one time, and maybe to him it's that way, but to me it's not. But he said, I don't even know what the troubling of water has even got to do with us. We've got nothing to do with it. He said, I've heard preachers preach about the trouble in the water. I said, man, what are you talking about? I said, it's there for one reason, to show us that you don't have to have a year-long, great, up in the mountain for 40 days, fasting, prayer, faith. That if you believe God for a moment, in that moment of belief, you get it. To show you what I'm talking about, watch this. I come to church my first time in a Pentecostal Holy Rolling Church. I'm Catholic. Child, I ain't never seen none of that stuff. What are you talking about? The guy beside me, man, his belly's shaking. He could be Santa Claus any day he wanted to be Santa Claus. Seven grandmas on the left of me, all gray-headed grandmas looking at me, smiling. Man, I'm thinking, how am I going to get out of here? I can't get by this guy. I can't walk by these ladies smiling at me, waving at me. I didn't know they were going to get me after church. They prayed me through the Holy Ghost. That's what they were smiling about. I'm going to get that guy. We're going to get him at the altar. He's getting the Holy Ghost. When I was down that altar, every time I start to get up and thought I was through, Grandma would say, you're not through yet. Shove me right back down. One of them whispered in my ear, keep on, you're going to talk in tongues in a minute. I said, I am. One of them said, you're not far from it. I said, where is it? One of them said, let go. Of what? Another one said in the other ear, hold on. To who? Hold on, let go. You're going to get it. But the power of the Holy Ghost came in. I was filled with the Spirit of God. But it was in a moment of time. I mean, I was down there wondering. But all of a sudden, something changed. In a moment, I lifted my hands. I started praising God. Now, check this out. I came in with doubt. I didn't understand what was going on. But in a moment, something touched me. I lifted my hands. I was filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I left that service. Look, I just spoke in tongues. I mean, the power of the Lord was all over me. I supernaturally. In that moment right then, you couldn't have told me there wasn't no Holy Ghost. I had no doubt. But wait a minute. 3 hours later, I'm at my house and I'm going, did I really get the Holy Ghost? And the devil said, no, you didn't get it. And I didn't know that was the devil. And I said, I don't think I got the Holy Ghost. So I went back to church the next service and the preacher gave an altar call. And I went up there and he whispered in my ear and said, you got the Holy Ghost last service. I said, did I? Yeah, I was over there praying with you. He said, dear God, man, lift your hands up and let's let the Holy Ghost touch you. Bam, it hit me and I thought I got it all over again. So I thought you got it at church, picked it up like you pick up anything, like the holy water. And I just thought that's, I didn't know it would abide with you forever. But I had to learn in moments of faith is when God moves. God understands us. He knows we battle doubt, unbelief, and skepticism. That's the three spirits of the end time. But it's those moments that the gift of faith comes. And it does every service. There's going to be a gift of faith moment in that place. If we could, every one of us, learn to move when the gift of faith begins to operate. Now, you'll have to find your own way to understand or to recognize it. This is how I recognize it. That when I look out there and there's seven almost impossible cases of miracles, that when all of a sudden I look out there and I just feel like grabbing them and chunking them up in the air. when I feel like grabbing one of them and dancing with them. That's a gift of faith. When that great trouble is on my life and I'm in the presence of God, and all of a sudden I start telling myself, why am I so worried about that? It's nothing to it. No, it ain't nothing to it. You're just about to die, that's all. Listen, you've known this before. You've seen this, that you've come to church and the Spirit of God got on you and all of a sudden you didn't feel sick. But when the Spirit of God left, you were sick. That's just showing you the moment of faith, what it does. If you would have reached down that moment and declared Romans 10, 8, 9, and 10, if you would have made a declaration with your heart and your mouth and then walked in it when you left that place, said, that happened right then. I believe it. Just like in the scripture, the prophet in the Old Testament says, by his stripes we were healed. And it hadn't even happened yet. Peter quotes the scripture and he doesn't say the word were, he says was, and he points back to Calvary. Neither one of those men were talking about present tense. It didn't happen when Peter was living, preaching. It happened before he was preaching. It didn't happen with the prophet during the time he spoke it. It was going to happen in the future. But they looked ahead or behind at the moment it took place. You know where I take my troubles? I take it back to the cross, back to Calvary. I put it back there on that hill. When the devil starts messing with me, I say, come on, son, come with me. Where we're going? We're going to Calvary. We're going back 2,000 years ago. I'm taking you to the cross. Praise God. Man, I just feel the, I feel like, whew, feel the Holy Ghost in this house. Huh? Everybody, let's stand together right now. I'm going to turn, I've got something I want to preach here in a minute. I'm just, I don't know what I'm doing right now, but kind of running around. I'm just all over the place. Whew. I'm like in a go-kart with no road. I'm just everywhere. That's my grandkids. They make their own roads out there at my house. Huh? Anything that can be knocked over, they're going to knock it over. Huh? The other day I was killing ants, and I had three of my grandkids in my golf cart with me. I told them 10 times, that's the accelerator. Don't touch it. What did Papa say? It's the accelerator. Don't touch it. I looked at the other one. I said, what's that? Accelerator. I looked at the other one, so what do you do? Don't touch it. So as I turned my back, what'd they do? You guys are prophets. I saw the golf cart fly by me. And they were all bouncing and hanging on. One of them steering, they just pushed it. And they rammed it into my air conditioner unit. Knocked it off the cement foundation. Bent all the hoses and pipes up. What did I want to do? Huh? I lifted my hands. Jesus. Jesus. Huh? I had to go to that spiritual place. That night, I was in the living room and their mama came. And the kids was with them. And I heard them in there talking. And one of them said, We ran over Papa's air conditioner today. She said, what? We were in the golf cart and Papa said, don't push that. But we did. Why? We don't know. We just did. She said, what did Papa do? I was peeping around. One of them said, he did this. Help me, Lord. I don't want to commit a murder right now. Let's all pray this prayer together right now. And I'm just going to ask you, just repeat after me. It's a simple prayer. And there's nothing wrong with me. You know, the Bible says vain repetitions. And that means, like, when I was in Catholicism, we would just repeat prayers that we didn't speak from our heart. But everybody that speaks from your heart, I'm going to ask you to pray a prayer. And the Lord's going to answer that prayer in Jesus' name. Everybody just lift up your hands right now. Say, in the name of Jesus, from this service on, I'm going to walk in the Holy Ghost. And from this moment on, I'm going to begin to identify the gift of faith. And my God shall supply all of my needs according to His riches. I am a child of faith. I worship in faith. I walk in faith. And I will receive by faith in Jesus' name. Now just lift your hands and begin to worship the Lord.
Oh, let's do that again. Send praise up to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let's begin to magnify Him. He's worthy of praise. He's worthy of every hallelujah, every thank you, Jesus. Clap your hands, all your people, and shout with the voice of triumph. Hallelujah. Let something rise up from deep inside of that artesian well. Let it rise up from your soul. Let it cry out to your King. Worship your God. Worship your God. He is mighty in power. He is glorious in being. He is in this place. He is in this place. And where Jesus is, anything can happen. Anything can happen. He's come to heal. He's come to deliver. He's come to save. He's come to set free. Let glory go up. Let praise go up. Let a shout go up. Here I am, here I am, I've come to find you. Oh, here I am, Lord,
here I am,
to see
your face,
to bring
to you an offering. I have to ask myself one thing, how can I do anything but praise?
Lift your voice and
you are God, you are Lord, you are all I'm living for. You are King of everything. I want my life to praise you. You are God, you are Lord, you are all I'm living for. You are King of everything. I want my life to praise you.
Somebody say hallelujah. Here I am.
Here I am.
I've come to thank you.
I've come to thank you.
Here I am, Lord.
Here I am.
A life you changed.
A life you changed.
Oh, because
you gave your life for me.
We're crucified
and died for me. How can I do anything
I
pray?
Oh, Jesus, I pray.
I pray.
Shall you, Lord,
you are God, you are Lord, you are all I'm living for. You are King of everything. I want my life to praise you. You are God, you are Lord, you are all I'm living for. You are King of everything, I want my life to